Nowadays, you need a mobile application. We built one. Take a look at how we did it.
My name is Krupa, and I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio team, working primarily on Apache Cordova tooling. Let's say I'm going to help clean up a riverbed in a place where I don't have any Wi-Fi access. Beforehand, I happen to view the application on my phone in the Cordova application, and we happen to cache all the data that is relevant for you. For example, who's the contact information of the person, who's the organizer, and where exactly is it located. And as I'm getting closer to my spot, I can bring up my phone, and I have all the relevant details that I can then access to be able to find the activity and then meet other people. One of the things that we're adding is ability to check in at a location. Let's say there's a QR code that is printed by the organizer. You can use your Cordova app and just take a picture of the QR code, and it'll automatically send a message saying that this person has checked in. If you are building, let's say, an ASP.NET app or any kind of a web-based application, you'll be right at home. You have an HTML page, you have some CSS, you can have your favorite libraries like Angular or React, or you can use the Ionic framework for it. Whatever you normally would use for building an awesome browser-based app, you can reuse all of those things in building a Cordova app, and you should be right at home.
And here you can actually see a Cordova app. In this case, we're using a particular framework in our HTML web page. It's called Ionic. So Ionic is actually a framework built on top of another framework called AngularJS.
We have many deploy targets you can preview your app against. I'm going to be using Ripple, which is a browser-based simulator, which is not quite as high fidelity as your actual device or an actual emulator, but it's really fast in being able to give you an in-browser view of what your application looks like. So here's the landing page, the homepage. So you have like, you know, a list of activities, and you can see like what they all look like, and I can navigate between them and see additional details. And a lot of this functionality is provided by Ionic framework itself. Like, the framework is really designed around giving you a native look and feel in the browser, which also translates really well into Cordova applications, because a Cordova app is nothing more than just a web application. So I basically just wire up the data, and then Ionic takes care of a lot of the details on making sure it looks nice, where you have like a menu, you have the fluid movement from one menu to another, and you get nice scrolling. And also, it's kind of cool. Like, you actually scroll down to the pull to refresh, little things like that, that Ionic makes it very simple for you to add to your application.
Likewise, we can deploy this to a physical device. So we can deploy this to an iOS device, actually, and Visual Studio is configured to be able to build remotely on a Mac onto an iOS device.
We actually support building for Android, iOS, and Windows. So what I'm going to do is actually show you how easy it is to build for iOS, because that's a more complicated one, because that requires you to not only have Visual Studio installed, but also a remote machine that actually has the Mac build components installed as well. So right now I'm running in a parallel setup, so I actually have both Visual Studio running, as well as I have also the Mac components running as well. So I'm going to go to my terminal, and what we have is we actually built a remote build service, all really about listening for new builds, and then creating the final IPA package, the technical term for the Apple iOS application, and then having it be deployed. So let's take a look at what it looks like in iOS. So I've already configured it, so you know I'm not gonna walk through that step. And we can actually preview on various simulators from like the iPad 2 to the iPhone 4, all the way to like the iPhone 6. Let's do the iPhone 6.
Sure.
And let's go ahead and play. So when I hit run, you'll see that, you know, a lot of commands are running. And more importantly, if I go to my terminal, you can see that we actually notice that there's a build, you know, incoming. It'll detect there's a build, it'll start doing the compilation on the iOS side, mostly for technical reasons that we can't do on the Windows, you know, area. And you'll see the iOS simulator running in a few moments.
And as you can see, Visual Studio is also echoing a lot of this information. You can see that build succeeded. So if there are any errors that occur, you're going to see them right in Visual Studio. So if they happen on the Mac, you will see them in VS.
Oh. And now the iOS simulator has been up and running. And now you basically have an app that was built in Visual Studio, which is a Windows application, communicating to a remote build server on the Mac. And I can see the same functionality you saw earlier, just at higher fidelity. And then we also have the application running on a device. If you actually have a device tethered to your physical machine or the machine that remote Mac server is on, you can actually build an application with a studio and have it be deployed to your app. And I think Dimitri actually has the application running on his phone. So just like hold up to the camera and we'll show it to you.
So this is the same deal right here. So you can have a device wall, you can have several devices sitting beside your computer, and people just submit builds and you can see them all there. In our case specifically, this came in really handy because we had some bugs that were visible on Android, not visible on iOS, and we could just do it from the one computer.
So you're not missing out on anything by, you know, testing for platforms that you've traditionally not seen Visual Studio deploy to. So what I'm gonna do right now is, let's say the activity, you know, this is the activity details page, right? And we have like a returned. Let's just scope the data to details. And for this, I'm gonna go to Ripple because it's so easier to do on that one. So I set a breakpoint, and I'm gonna go ahead and preview this application. In this case, a Nexus Galaxy device running in the Ripple simulator. All right, so the application, just like you saw before, is working here. And notice that I added this page into the activity details section. which means if I click on an individual item, the details page will load. And so when I click it, notice that the breakpoint gets hit, and I can actually inspect the value, you know, visually by looking at all the values right here. I have access to the JavaScript console. I can do the immediate window. I can do all the things that I would have normally done to debug and figure out what's going on with my iOS device. I think you'd like the Visual Studio Debugger a whole lot.
Check out who stopped by.
Right now, these folks are desperately trying to ignore us and get some work done because they feel the pressure. I wanted to show you the mobile app that we've been working on. So we'll walk over to Kirupa.
All right.
And his folks here. So we have a bunch of people that work normally on the Apache Cordova tools. And Kirupa is one of the PMs that's been making all this stuff possible. And now he's a PM / dev / whatever Dimitri needs, right?
That's so, pretty much
Kirupa,
it.
Have you met Bill before?
I have a long time ago.
Oh,
a long time ago.
Again.
Yeah, so Kirupa is going to show us a little bit about what the app's going to look like. But Kirupa, walk them through the app a little bit.
Yeah, so you saw the web-based application. And what this app does, it's a Cordova app that runs on Android, iOS, and Windows devices.
Awesome.
And what we're doing is, you know, having a subset of the functionality, which, as Dimitri outlined, is going to be volunteer-focused, so no admin abilities, no searching. But let's say you've already logged into an activity. You can see all the activities you signed up for. And then depending on which activity you're interested in, you can click it, and you'll see more details. As you can see, we have a lot of fake data here, nothing real yet. But we're furiously working on tying everything together so that once you have all of the data in, your application.
I do this all the time. I'm on my way to an event and I forget what the address is or where I'm headed. It'd be great to have a phone app where I can actually look that.
And the biggest thing about the phone app is that it provides offline capabilities. So if you're going to a place that doesn't have any network access, you still have already cached because we're supporting offline.
Yeah, that's coming together. It's all sitting on top of our REST API hosted on Azure. So it's pretty cool.
Looking pretty good for 3 o'clock.
Great work.
Cool. All right, thank you, Kirupa. Appreciate the demo.
It was great to see what the mobile team was able to do after 3 days.
We've been able to get most of the stuff we had planned done, and I'm going to give you a quick demo of it, and we'll talk a little bit about the UI and some of the cool things that we added to the plugin side.
It looks nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it looking nice is a big part of it, and you can see the logo, the branding is all in, the color scheme, we have it all going. So I'm going to sign in first. We have authentication working. I'm going to sign in using my Twitter account. I've already signed in beforehand, so I'm just going to go ahead and sign in.
Right, so you didn't need to type in your login.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm already registered. Oh, let's see what's going to go happen. Type in my email address here.
Oh my gosh, it's the danger of demo.
Yeah, this works perfectly. All the campaigns that I have, you know, signed up for are showing up here. Yeah, they're happening in the past. We're still having some, you know, mock data here, but it's still pretty good. I noticed that when the screen loaded, it kind of slid in. It wasn't like a normal web page navigation. We're using the Ionic framework, which gives us a lot of nice functionality for creating high performance, really fluid UIs. So I can see a list of content that you can see. I can scroll in and out. We even have pull to refresh, which is very common in many, many native applications. We provide that. Notice that when I refreshed it, you can see new content there. It's in from 7 days to 2 days. That's really cool. Then for every activity, I can click on and get more details about it as well.
I especially like the activity view model that she has.
Exactly. Very, very user-friendly, right? In the middle of nowhere, you get to see, shipping middle CS helps you answer so much.
Yeah.
And then, we also have, the ability to use a barcode scanner. Like, let's say you're at an event. I'm using a simulator right now, so it's kind of hard to showcase that.
Sure.
But you can imagine that when you click on the barcode scanner, you see the camera showing up and actually scan a barcode and be able to...
the check-in scenario we talked about, right?
Pickle check-in. You can see,
try to bring the camera up.
When you arrive at the activity.
Exactly. Exactly, so let's go back to the page. And that's basically a quick overview of it. Let me turn it over to two of our developers, in this case, Guillaume, who worked on the UI a bit, and then Jimmy, who worked on the plugin side of it. So Guillaume, want to talk about the UI?
Sure, so actually I was a little bit in the back end of UI. I worked on querying that data that we can see here, the list of the activity. So it was an interesting experience. I didn't have much experience working with Angular before, so this is actually a service that goes query our API that we have on the back end side, and so returns a nice array that Ionic and Angular take care of, putting everything nicely here.
So this is all fake data, but it's going to the back end.
It's fake.
Pulling the fake.
It's
from the
real
back
fake data.
It's real. Yeah. Yeah, real fake data. So
this is somewhere in the database.
As far as the app is doing, it's actually calling the RESTful service.
Yeah.
You've got all that hooked up, so we were able to sort of get the app wired. It's just the data needs to come from
some
admin screens we haven't maybe finalized yet. There.
Yep.
Cool.
Same thing for a specific activity. This is queried as well. And everything gets cached for the offline experience that we want to have. So,
awesome. All right. And next component part of it.
Yeah, so I was looking at the device capability side of things. So when you click that button there, it has the check-in. It's supposed to be when you click on that check-in button, it brings up the camera and says, hey, if you find a QR code or any kind of barcode, we'll try and scan it for you. Unfortunately, the simulator faking out camera stuff is pretty awkward. On the Windows side of things, from VS, you can launch the Android emulator or the Windows Phone emulator. And both of those work kind of okay for faking things out. Mm-hmm. You can also deploy to a real device, and that works much nicer to use the actual camera, move it in the right spot, and get the QR code in just the right place.
Like, you guys already had this running on some real devices I saw earlier.
Yeah, we had that going on day one. I had it in like a test project because it was super simple. There was a plugin already that dealt with that, and you slotted in there, worked immediately. So as being able to leverage the Cordova ecosystem of plugins.
Cool.
And putting in their work fine. And then, yeah, I also worked on trying to plumb it through to the back end and, you know, create QR codes for it to read.
Right, I was about to say, how do we get people to generate and print these out?
Yeah, so that was a little bit harder just because I had to go try and find a library to make them. The plugin can actually try and make them, and it uses the phone's capabilities, but we didn't want the phones to make the QR codes and have other people scanning phones. It seemed a bit strange.
Yeah, phone scanning phone, I like that.
I was doing that for testing purposes, but not the greatest experience. But I found a library there where the server could create QR codes, and then you just make a request to a certain thing and get back a dynamically generated image, which is an appropriate QR code. You can print it out, you can put it on a web page, you can do whatever you want with it.
Cool.
And yeah, now you scan it, the app can get the URL and then visit it and complete the check-in process.
Awesome. Well, this thing has changed, really come together. I mean, a few days ago when we started, we were all like, what? We're doing what and how long? I remember you guys giving me looks in that meeting, but I think this thing has really come together. We still have a little bit of work on it, but I think by the time the public gets the code and sees this, it'll be in really good shape. So thank you guys so much. It's been a great project. Sure. Thank you.